and welcome to another edition of the KKFI Arts Magazine Show. I'm Michael Hoag, your host. Glad to have you with us today on this Monday, and you don't want to be stranded out in the cold today. No. As you enjoy the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station, right here in Kansas City. Interesting things to bring your way in the course of the program today. We're going to talk about the first one's not really a holiday show. There might be some elements of the holidays in the show. The second one definitely is, as we check in with the Westport Center for the Arts and their latest production. But first, we're going to journey on over to Mission, Kansas, in our minds, more than anything else, and talk to the Barn Players of Johnson County and talk about their sixth annual 6x10 Play Fest. Six plays, 10 minutes long. There's something you don't like, just hang around 10 minutes. Something new will come along. That's the way it always works. And here with us today, two lovely people. If you read Facebook, you know what I mean. To talk about the 6x10 Play Festival, Michelle Johnson is with us. Now, she has a long and impressive resume here, too. Almost two pages long. She is a Kansas City-based local and national diversity consultant and speaker, has published, in fact, three books on diversity, and has a freelance column in the Kansas City Star as the Diversity Diva. Welcome, Michelle. She's a playwright as well. She's on the board of the Barn Players. I should turn on the microphone. That would help.
Yes, I am a board member of the Barn Players.
And you've written plays yourself in the past. In fact, you've been produced at Potluck Productions, the Unicorn Theater's Writer Showcase in February 2013. Most recently interviewed you when you had a play going on at the Fringe Festival, Wiccans in the Hood.
Yes.
And we had fun talking about Wiccans and all that, as I recall.
That's right. Remember that conversation?
Yeah. That's right. She remembers now. And her next play, Echoes of Octavia, will produce by the Melting Pot Theater Group next year. And her place, Trading Places, and an expanded Wiccans in the Hood will be produced next year as part of the Brain Spunk Theater of Philadelphia. Congratulations
on
all that impressive list of credits there.
And it all started
boring.
And it all started with my first play being in the Barn Players 6x10 2 years ago.
Ah.
So that's the good segue, right?
That is a very good segue. Lynn Reddick is also with us, equally impressive. He is the Associate Artistic Director of this production of the 6x10.
No, the whole Barn Players.
The whole Barn Players.
The whole sheet match.
He works at Sprint as a data architect. You actually draw that? No, never mind. he is on the boards. Now, this is impressive, Lynn. He is on the boards of the Kansas City Boys Choir, the Heartland Men's Chorus, completed his term as chairman of the Theater Council for Theater in the Park. He has been on stage. He has been stage managers, and he has been assistant director. So welcome to the show as well. Here to tell us about the 6x10 Festival, which begins this Friday.
This Friday night.
Friday.
The 13th of December at 7:30 p.m. Performances continue Friday. I should say Saturday the 14th at 7:30 and conclude this Sunday the 15th with a matinee at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Welcome both of you for coming
with us.
Thank you. An array of plays. It's 6x10, so there are six of them, and they each last around 6 minutes long.
10 minutes.
10 minutes.
10 minutes long? Okay. Six of them, 10 minutes long.
Yeah.
That would make 6x10.
Right.
It's a cold morning. It's even cold in the building.
That's right.
I have to speak to the landlord about that. But six plays, 10 minutes long, and I guess originally people had to submit presentations for this. Playwrights had to submit their plays.
Yes, they did. They did. It's a local competition, and by local, people who live within 200 miles of Kansas City are, I guess, 200 miles of Mission, Kansas. And we had probably close to 40 submissions and picked six of the best plays. I wasn't on the committee. I just merely funneled it to the people who decided.
And were you one of the people who decided?
I was one of the ones.
As the Associate Artistic Director.
Yes, I was one. We read them. We do a blind reading. We don't know who wrote them, so we don't know if it's anyone we know or someone we don't know. And we have a committee of three, and we read all 40 plays. And we come up with our six and send them to Michelle and say, here's our six. We do have a rule that we only do one play-by-play right each year. So that's why we do it blind, and we send those six to her, and she tells us if we have any duplicates, and if we do, we go to the number seven show, as it were, that's how we select them.
I see. So you would know, since you don't know the author's name, you wouldn't know if you'd picked two plays.
Right, exactly. And playwrights can submit as many as they want, and so we often have people that submit a couple of shows, and so that can definitely happen.
Well, no, there's a limit to two. I guess they can submit as many as they want, can't they?
Yeah.
Oh, well, we'll talk about that later.
How would the committee know?
We have no way of knowing. That's right.
It's blind.
Completely blind.
That's right.
That's what they say about people in television.
Exactly. Okay.
Well, let's talk about the plays. They open, of course, this Friday night, so we're in the middle of rehearsing right now for all of these plays by these playwrights. So the first one, at least on the list I have, I don't know if this is the order of presentation, but the first one I have listed is one that, a person was probably a fan of the New York Yankees.
I don't know which one you're going to do. Yeah.
Derek Jeter and the Blonde in the Tight Black Skirt with the Shiny Things on It by Mark Bonavia.
Bonavia?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's hear about this. How does... Does Derek Jeter appear in the show?
Derek Jeter does not appear in the show. he is a metaphor that they use. But this show is about two men who are in a bar, and you can tell this is probably a weekly ritual for them that they go to this bar every Friday night and to try and pick up a woman. And one of the two has finally decided that he's at a point in his life where maybe he's ready to move on to something a little more substantial, to a real live relationship. Mm-hmm. And his friend does not react well to that and just think there's something wrong with this guy that, you know, he's ready to kind of maybe settle down. So
yeah, why would he want to do such a thing?
Right. And so it's all about, you know, that point in your life that you come to where you decide it's time to transition into adulthood, which can come at any age. So
did this particular woman that he's interested in... was she blonde, and did she have a tight black skirt on?
Yes, that is the one they're talking about. Yes, you got the title. Yes, that is the one they're talking about, and Derek Jeter just becomes a metaphor for that they use to describe, you know, life.
Well, he's, as they say, lucky with the ladies.
Yeah,
So that would kind of fit.
Yeah.
What about costuming for it? Does a woman appear with a black skirt on?
We never see her.
Only in our
She's
mind.
Off stage. We don't ever get to see her.
I'm looking forward to seeing these plays because I've only read one of them before because half the playwrights who submitted I know, but I don't read the plays when I send them forward, and I'm not on the committee. One of them I already had read because a friend had submitted it, but other than that, I'm looking forward. I'm just as excited as everybody to see what's going to be on stage.
Well, as a playwright yourself, I would think you'd want to sit in on the dress rehearsals and things like that.
I got too many of my own things I got to deal with.
That's right.
So I just kind of like to go and be surprised.
Well, Lynn probably has, as the associate artistic director, you probably have watched the rehearsals.
I've been around. It's quite a challenge negotiating six plays rehearsing at the same time. We have a pretty intricate scheduling we have to do to make sure they all get into the barn and get on the stage and get their time. And we actually have three actors this year that are in more than one show. So there's a lot of logistics that goes on in making sure that everyone gets their chance on the stage and gets a good amount of rehearsal time.
Do any of the playwrights appear in any of the other plays other than their own?
They don't, but one thing that they do that I think that we really encourage is that the playwrights are a part of this process as well. So they oftentimes attend rehearsals. We have some playwrights in the past that have attended every single rehearsal. We had a playwright this year that came to auditions because they had a very specific image in their mind of what their characters look like. They occasionally will do rewrites during the process of rehearsal because oftentimes things sound one way on the page, but you put them on the stage and it doesn't sound the way you expected. The dialogue doesn't sound like dialogue that a person would actually say.
Boy, ain't that the truth.
Yeah. So a lot of them are very involved. And then we have had some at points that say, you know, I don't want to be involved. I want to come on opening night and see my work in all its glory. But so that's part of the fun of the process is just that every single playwright comes with a different perspective. And for many of them, it's the first time they've had their work ever produced.
Sure.
So that's very exciting.
Now, Michelle, there, how tight are you with one of your plays? Do you...
I'm kind of known for I need to be part of the process, which is
extremely
why
extremely hands on.
Yeah, you know, which is why it's interesting because I have a couple of plays next year that are being done in Philadelphia, and so I just have, you know, I just will surrender to the process and just I'll just go there and fly there and be just pleased and excited about how it all folds out. But
so you're not going to use up all your vacation time, all your sick leave, fly to Philly?
Nah, I trust my director and producer, but when it's someplace I can drive within 15 minutes, yeah, I kind of like to see what's going on.
Okay. The second play I have listed is called The Birthday by Teresa Lagarde.
Yeah, and that play is it's interesting. Whenever we do this every year, there's always some themes that show up in several plays. And I never know why that is, that a certain theme will show up in more than one play. But the theme that showed up in a lot of plays this year was about women and their biological clock. Yeah. And deciding if it was time to, you know, either have a child or just reconcile to the fact that they were not going to have a child. And so we had three plays this year that all kind of dealt with that same theme in different ways. And The Birthday is one of those. It's about a woman trying to decide whether or not she wants to have a child. And she gets a singing birthday telegram that... I don't want to give too much away.
That's the one play I read. Don't be giving away the hook.
Anyway, I won't tell you the hook. A lot of these plays have a hook. Even though they're only 10 minutes long, they still oftentimes have a surprise that happens during them. But the action is instigated by singing birthday telegram that comes to her front door. And it's what causes her to start thinking about life choices and what she should do.
Yeah. You're long about the time they turn 40. I should say they. When women turn 40 or around 40, that's when that thinking starts to start. Then, you know, I know a lot of women older than that.
Right.
And they're way past that.
Right. So there's something going on now because, like I said, we had three different plays that were submitted that all kind of sort of dealt with that same theme. So I don't know why that is, but it's just always kind of interesting.
Something that's on a lot of women's minds,
I
think.
Yeah, yeah. So.
As the process
goes on. I bought a dog.
It's probably wise. A lot of ladies would probably agree with you.
You still got to board them when you leave. So.
I almost forgot to do that this morning.
Well, that one is called The Birthday by Teresa Lagarde. The third play I have listed, The Charge Master by Sofina Oliveira.
Yes. That show is very timely because with all the conversation out there about health care and how do we pay for health care and how do we, you know, get universal health care out there, The Charge Master is about a woman whose husband has an accident and has to go to the hospital. And, again, I don't want to give away the hook, but she discovers how hospitals really determine the prices they're going to charge you. And if anybody has had any kind of, not to disparage hospitals, but if anybody's had any kind of dealing with hospitals in the last few years and has had to deal with all those medical statements that show you how much it costs and what the insurance will pay and what you've got left.
It's a mess.
I had to go through that a couple of years ago, and it is a nightmare to try to figure all that out. And anyway, in this play, she discovers how it is that hospitals actually come up with those charges that show up on your bill.
You're probably a dartboard.
It's even more devious than that. But,
Did she write this because she had an experience?
I don't know. She was at one of our rehearsals last night, and I meant to ask her that exact question. I said I was going to ask her if... Like I said, when I read it, I immediately flashed back to this experience a couple of years ago and went, oh, this is so the way it is. You know, this is so right on. And I meant to ask her that last night, but I didn't get a chance to ask her that.
Yeah. But that's called The Charge Master by Sofiana
Oliveira Abalon is actually her entire name.
Okay. The fourth play I have listened to, Finding Amelia by Amanda Peatfish. Shrag. Shrag. See, I've been right on about one of them.
Well,
so
I told my playwrights this year, I said, wow, I got a lot of hyphenated and complicated names this year.
I got Johnson right.
Yeah. And
Reddick.
That's true.
That's right.
Okay, let's hear about Finding Amelia.
Finding Amelia is very funny play that is about a group of suburban women in Topeka, Kansas, who have decided that they want to create a new national holiday, and that national holiday is called Finding Amelia Earhart Day. It's all about trying to figure out the mystery of Amelia Earhart and what happened to her. And their theory is that she didn't disappear over the Pacific, but that she turned around and she's somewhere in Kansas.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's all about their trying to discover where she is in Kansas.
In Kansas. How interesting. Now, does the author, or does Amanda, by any chance, know Marie Asner, local writer who's an expert on Amelia Earhart?
I don't know, but I'll ask her that.
That would be interesting to get those two together.
It's been the folks that are doing the play have had a really good time researching Amelia Earhart and finding out about her. And I don't know if she's Amelia was actually the way she's kind of portrayed in this play, but she's kind of portrayed as a feminine icon and, leader in women's rights in her time. And
there's been fictionalized accounts of what happened to her. One is that she was a prisoner of the Japanese for a time. And
well, there's never been an account like this one, I promise.
Okay,
you.
Well, all right.
If you come see the show, you will find out what really happened to Amelia Earhart, and you will be surprised.
Okay, that's called Finding Amelia. Okay, the fifth play I have listed, Wishing Well by Alicia Schrader.
You know, you did that one.
Good. It's about time. I know I'll get the last one right.
And this show is about two strangers who meet at a wishing well. It's some sort of, you know, I would make it equivalent to like the Blarney Stone. It's one of these wishing wells that's well known, that's supposed to have these magical powers, that if you go there and make a wish, that the wish will come true. And it's about these two strangers that are at this wishing well and make a connection. And they start off as strangers, but at the end of just 10 short minutes, there is a connection between them that they neither one ever anticipated when they arrived at that wishing well.
Here we go. He just loves to almost give away the hooks. We playwrights are not happy about
it. I haven't given away any of the hooks yet.
I'll report back, Michael, after I see the,
okay,
the festival, whether he gave away too much.
Well, I'll throw out an opinion, too, after I see it. The Wishing Well. Okay, number six, Bad Karma by Mary Salito Wilkins. I know her. So.
Yeah, I know her too. She's great.
Yeah, it's about two women who go to a psychic, and I won't give away the hook, but I will say that the psychic has a very unusual ability. She's not your typical psychic. She doesn't read the future. She has a very, very specific talent. And that is the hook in that show, and I won't tell what it is, but you don't understand at the beginning of the show exactly why they've gone to the psychic, but you discover over the course of the show why they've gone to her and what her very unique ability is.
Mm. I got to give it to you, Lynn. You're making me look forward to going to see this, and I was already going. So, hey, that's saying something.
I wonder if Mary got the idea from listening to the KKFI psychics on Sunday morning.
We'll have to ask her that. I don't know where she got the idea.
It depends on what this unusual psychic ability is, probably.
I can't tell. Michelle will kill me if I tell.
That's
you got to come to the festival
and find out what it is. The hook will be put in you if you do that.
Okay, right.
Those are the six plays. Now, there's six of them. They last 10 minutes each. Is there an intermission?
There is. We do three shows, and then we have an intermission, and then we do the other three. And some of them actually run a little longer than 10 minutes because I think playwrights, Michelle can just, something that's 10 minutes in their mind sometimes isn't quite 10 minutes on the stage.
Sometimes you forget about that little thing called blocking and movement and reaction. I mean, you know, those things that kind of take up space and time.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, when you read it, you probably only does last 10 minutes.
Right, exactly.
So those are the 10 plays. You're thinking, well, how do we see these plays? Well, it opens Friday night, December 13th. At 7:30 p.m. at the Barn Players of Johnson County. The number to call, now this is an 800 number, and this is a new one on me, so is this right? 1-800-838-3006. Is that the number?
That is the ticket line.
That's the one they should call to make reservations?
Yeah, but actually for this particular show, generally people just show up.
Okay.
So there's really no need to make reservations necessarily. Just come on out and see the shows.
Now you will be going out to 6219 Martway in Mission, Kansas. And if you MapQuest things, zip code 66202, or go online for information at thebarnplayers.org. You have to put the in there because, as I will sometimes say, there are other organizations around the country called Barn Players.
Yeah.
So you have to put that in there.
And the ORG is very important. A lot of people put com on the end, but we're an ORG.
And when people ask, where's the Barn Players, it has to be someone who's lived in Kansas City a few years. Remember where the old Mission Mall was? And they're like, yeah? Okay, we're right near there. We're like a couple blocks away from there.
Yeah, I usually tell them where the old Fine Arts Theater used to be.
Yeah.
Just a block south of there,
yeah,
really.
Yeah.
A block and a half.
And they finally finished construction on Martway.
Oh, that's great.
They've been dealing with that for about 6 or 8 months. It's finally done.
I guess the closest big intersection would be, is it called Johnson Drive through that area?
Yeah,
Johnson
we're a block south of Johnson Drive.
Johnson Drive in Lamar. Mm-hmm. It's a block south of that.
We're next door to the Main Street Credit Union, so if you know where that is, right next door
and
to
that
them.
Community center.
Right, we're right across the street from the Mission Community Center. So
that's right. That's where you need to go. Shows Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday afternoon. Again, the number to call, 1-800-838-3006, or online at thebarnplayers.org, 6219 Martway, Mission, Kansas. That's where you need to go. We're speaking with Lynn Reddick and Michelle Johnson about the 6x10 Play Fest. How soon does the committee, as you talked about them, how soon do they take submissions for instance, the next year? Because you know people are listening now. They're going to see the show. They're going to say, I could do that.
Since we barely look at the website until it's time to, I would wait until there is an announcement posted, which will probably be in the springtime, because what we do is we have free workshops for playwrights. We have 3 free workshops so that playwrights can come, and it's Saturday mornings. It's 1 a month. I think it's usually June, July, and August, mm-hmm. with the submission deadline being the end of August, and people can come and they can have their plays read out loud, because that's one of the biggest tools that any playwright can have, is just how does my play sound outside of my own head.
Sure.
And so that's pretty much what the workshop is getting, having your play read out loud and having feedback on how your play sounds.
And we provide a couple of actors for that. So if a playwright wants to come and bring their play, they can come and we provide some actors and they'll read it out loud. And like Michelle said, they get feedback from the other playwrights that are there. There's usually several playwrights that are there that are not presenting anything. They're just there to listen and get feedback. And it's a really valuable tool. And several of the plays that we selected started in that process. And so
it's a great – I mean, it really is. I mean, when I took my play that was picked a couple years ago to the workshop, again, other than my dog hearing it out loud, that was the first time I'd heard my play read out loud and by actual actors, and it was amazing, because it's like, wow.
And you find out the things you thought were funny aren't so funny.
Exactly. And you find out your strengths and your weaknesses, and then there's nothing like having a production that's more than one time where you get to hear, and I love that for the playwrights this weekend, for the ones who will come every all 3 performances, they'll see the lines that get a response every time, and the ones that they just know are going to get a response, they never get a response.
Sometimes people try too hard on certain lines,
mm-hmm.
don't you think? They just emphasize it just too much, which makes it not as funny.
Right.
That's right.
Exactly. We're down to our last 2 minutes. Could we quickly read over some of the plays coming up starting in 2014?
I'll let Lynn handle that, because his pronunciation is much better than mine when it comes to certain plays.
Okay, this is what you have to look forward to.
In 2014, our main stage is 4 musicals and 2 plays. Got that backwards. We start off with Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson, which is a rock musical is how I would describe that, that talks all about Andrew Jackson, and you will find out that he was perhaps not quite the president you thought he was. We then next have the musical Follies by Stephen Sondheim, one of his many masterpieces. Then in the summer, we do 2 plays. We do August, Osage County, which everyone's going to become very familiar with, this Christmas season when the movie mm-hmm. comes out and everyone sees it. It's a great play. We're doing a very funny play called Noises Off, which is a British farce, door-slamming British farce.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. And then in the fall we finish up with two musicals, Hair, the classic musical Hair, and then we will end with La Cage aux Folles. That's what Michelle thought she should say.
Yeah, I can pronounce Hair.
You may know it as the, you may know it as The Birdcage. It was made into a movie called The Birdcage with Robin Williams and Nathan Lane, except this is the musical version of it, and that'll end our season. And then we'll have the 6x10 Play Festival. Again, next December, we'll do it all again.
Always exciting things going on over at the Barn. Now, one of Kansas City's at least oldest community theater groups.
And let's not forget Shrek the Musical that the kids are doing.
The Barn Junior kids will be doing Shrek the Musical, and Barn kids will be doing Disney's Cinderella.
So. Yeah, Cinderella is in the summer. Shrek is in
January. Uh-huh. And the other kids' show is in the summer. We do two workshops, and the kids have about 3 weeks. They get to go to a workshop, and they actually do the whole show themselves. They do the props, they do the sets, they do the show, they do everything. So they really get a good taste of theater.
If people are interested in that for their kids, should they just go to the Barn's regular website?
Yeah, there'll be information on there on how to register. Absolutely.
Okay, thebarnplayers.org for that. If you're interested in, I suppose, season tickets or information about seeing the 6x10 Playfest, call the number 1-800-838-3006 or information at thebarnplayers.org. The Barn is located, of course, at 6219 Mart Way in Mission, Kansas, zip code 66202. I want to thank my guests for being with me and enlightening me on the 6x10 Play Fest opening this Friday night at the Barn Players of Johnson County. Six playwrights, 10 minutes long. Six shows, there's going to be something
for everybody.
You said if you either love it and you're left wanting more, or you don't like it, and then it's next.
That's what the concession stand would be for.
Exactly.
Thanks very much for being here. Lynn Reddick, Associate Artistic Director of the Barn, and Michelle Johnson, board member over at the Barn, and local playwright and author, and many things, of course. I can't read your bio again. Thanks so much for being here.
When we return
after our break, much more for you. When we return, you're listening to the Arts Magazine radio program right here on KKFI, 90.1 FM.
Freeze Frame! Hi, I'm Russ Simmons with Freeze Frame, KKFI's weekly look at the newest cinematic fare at your local theaters. A strong cast and realistic atmosphere does a lot to shore up the gritty and brutally violent blue-collar revenge drama Out of the Furnace. Christian Bale plays a hardworking employee at a Pennsylvania steel mill whose life is upended after a night of drinking. He's involved in a car wreck, spends time in prison for involuntary manslaughter, loses his girlfriend, and hopes for the future. Things get worse when, after being released from prison, his Iraqi war veteran brother, played by Casey Affleck, gets involved with some creepy promoters of illegal bare-knuckle boxing. Ultimately, Christian has to confront the psychotic leader of the fight club, played by Woody Harrelson. Bale is spot on as always, Affleck is also impressive, and Harrelson oozes evil as the unhinged hillbilly gangster. Other members of the impressive cast include Zoe Saldana, Forrest Whitaker, Sam Shepard, and Willem Dafoe, all who lend able support. Writer-director Scott Cooper manages to create the right oppressive atmosphere for this melodramatic tale of vengeance, but the brutal story is overly familiar and awkwardly structured. It makes some pointed observations about our decaying Rust Belt industries and the shameful treatment received by some of our returning war vets. If this is starting to sound a bit like The Deer Hunter, it's understandable. That movie is obviously the inspiration for this film. It even has a deer hunting scene. But Out of the Furnace isn't in that league. It could be described as Deer Hunter Light. And now for some great news for local movie buffs. The Tivoli Theater in Westport was faced with the possibility of closure at the end of the year if it didn't raise enough money to purchase a new digital projection system. A Kickstarter campaign was launched, and it managed to raise enough dough to fund the upgrade. Chalk it up as a big win for the little guys and local fans of art house movies. Well, that's it for this edition of Freeze Frame. Until next time, I'm Russ Simmons with Fox 4 and KKFI-FM.
Freeze Frame!
Wednesday night is Arts Night on KKFI. At 6 p.m., it's Art Speak Radio, followed by the award-winning From Arc to Microchip at 6:30. Then it's live radio theater on L.A. Theater Works from 7 to 9 p.m., followed by chamber music with Dr. Mike. Get your arts on Wednesday night on KKFI.
Next time on L.A. Theater Works,
the legendary story of one of America's most stunning corporate collapses. A world leader in electricity and gas goes supernova, only to implode in the public eye. In Enron, the darkly funny play by Lucy Prebble, starring Gregory Itzen as Kenneth Lay and Steven Weber as Jeffrey Skilling, Wednesday from 7 to 9 p.m. On the next Sprouts, exploration of sexual assault on college campuses, including college administration's cover-ups of reports of rape, as well as Title IX suits as a new tool to fight rape on campus. That's Sprouts Thursday at noon.
Hello, this is Martha Lally, producer of KKFI's Anything Goes show with Charles Ferrugia and Carol Barta. Carol, on our next show, we look at Kansas City's theater scene.
Martha, theater in Kansas City is vibrant and exciting, and the Quality Hill Playhouse has been an important part of our city's entertainment scene. Director Kent Barnhart and Lindsay McKee will be with us.
See you here on KKFI's Anything Goes show, Fridays at noon.
And welcome back to the Arts Magazine show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station right here in Kansas City. I'm Michael Hoag, your host. We're going to journey on over to Westport. It's not very far from here. In fact, you might even say that this is part of Westport right here, where we are right now at 39th and Main. And here with us to talk is Pam Gregory and Gene Murphy. They're both involved. I don't know what their titles are. Do you both have titles with the Westport Center for the Arts?
Pam is the president of Westport Center for the Arts.
Well, I'm writing that down. Pam is the president.
Pam is the president. And
what is Gene? You?
I'm a board member, and I assembled the script and the cast.
She's the program coordinator.
Oh, that what I am.
She does all of the above. I just keep her in line.
Oh, that's right. Well, so we all have to be kept in line by somebody. Lord knows nobody does that for me.
You lucky duck.
Maybe you should join our board. I can help you with that.
That was very sly, Virginia. Or Pam. So that means that you both know Robert Gibby Brand personally.
Very well. Very no. I've known Bob for a long time, and Linda. And
that's his wife.
That's right. Yeah, Linda Brand.
Yes,
is his
Linda
wife.
Brand. Linda Audie Brand.
Linda Audie Brand is his wife. They are involved with the Westport Center for the Arts, and the aforementioned Robert Gibby Brand and Nancy Marcy are part of their show coming up. It's called American Christmas 2, spelled T-O-O.
Yes, T-O-O, as in also.
American Christmas also. Was there, at one point, an American Christmas 1?
Yes, a year ago, we did American Christmas 1, although we didn't put the 1 there.
Sure.
We did that over at Westport Coffee Shop, and this year we needed different availability for space than they could provide us. And so we said, okay, American Christmas 2, and I went, yeah, but most people didn't see American Christmas 1. What do we do with that?
We had a small but enthusiastic audience.
Yes, yes, and a spirited discussion of whether why T-O-O should be on the poster.
Uh-huh.
I said, well, because there is American Christmas, too. I mean, our set of expectations for the Christmas program is, in this city, obviously, it's going to be a Christmas carol. Well, that's kind of a British fairy tale of what Christmas should be like. You know, the tale of redemption. The old miserly man is redeemed by the innocent child, and the three visitors come, and it's all very Dickensian, and there's great music and wonderful costumes. It is Dickensian. Strangely enough, because it was written by Dickens.
That is very close to the truth.
Yeah. With minor explications. So last year we thought, well, let's do something really different. And other than having, you know, a bloodletting in the middle of the program, which we were not prepared to do, well, let's talk about what American Christmas is and look at the American writers who have some of the same reputation as a Dickens, but they don't get the pretty costumes. And so we want to tell the stories of what American Christmas is, what it is, and it is strictly American. I mean, we have a way of doing this that is not at all like Dickens. You know? And so that's the story, the stories we want to tell.
Well, one of the things that Jean, part of the background on this is that for probably 10 or 12 years, we did a version, a read-aloud version of the Dickens story. And
based on the Canadian radio script.
Yes. And we did this with several, what was the gentleman's name, the actor that was?
T. Max Graham.
Yeah, T. Max Graham.
Yes,
and
yes.
Then when he passed away, it was like, oh, man.
Well, Bob did it that first
year. And Bob did it.
And did a wonderful job.
But this was the year that the church burned, where we have done all of these performances.
I know that your performances were always in the church.
At Westport Presbyterian Church. And so when we lost that venue, we decided, well, maybe we need to do something different.
Not that we took it as an omen or anything.
No, not that.
But... the not last thing, the last performance that was done in the church was Christmas Carol.
And it was brilliant, by the way. We had
Tosin Morahunfla, Bob Brand,
Jean Murphy.
Jen Mays.
And Jen Mays.
We had Jen Mays. It was dueling egos
up
there.
It was brilliant. It was really brilliant.
But times change, and churches do burn down.
Yeah, well, not very often. Not in this day and age.
Well, thank goodness that this happened, and so we had to do something different. And so Jean conceived of the, I think it's fairly brilliant idea of having an American Christmas, and so that led us to having American Christmas too. And now she's going to tell you more about that.
Yeah. Well, tell us about all the authors that you've included in these readings.
Well, we've gone with the... Let me tell you who didn't make the cut. Mark Twain did not make the cut.
Oh.
He was in there for a while, but it was a Santa story, and we had enough Santa stories. Pearl Buck did not make the cut. However, who did is Ogden Nash, James Thurber.
Truman Capote.
Charles Guswell.
Kelly Wirtz
is our musical director on this and is coming up with a brand new, never heard before carol.
Oh yes.
For this, and there's also a man I teach with out of Johnson County, Tim Hoare, who came up with, what I did is I went around and asked people, what are your favorite Christmas stories? And he came up with one for me, and he gave me this folder that also had one that he had written. And I'm using the one that he, by Richard Armour, that he gave me, but I'm using one of Tim's too, which is really, really lovely. And so we're kind of gathering them as we go. Irma Bombeck.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We're doing a little Arlo Guthrie. We thought we needed a 60s revolutionary in there somewhere. And so it's a wide range from Thurber and Calvin Trillin. Calvin Trillin is in there. To Arlo Guthrie to a Hawaiian pop music Christmas carol. which is Pam's shining moment, because Pam is also performing with us as our vocalist.
You get to dance, are you?
No, I'm hoping someone else will.
She is in the market for a grass skirt right now, listeners. If anybody has one, just, you know, hanging around the house, we're in the market for one of those.
And
all
we
right.
Want the coconuts too, if you got them.
Well, this will be there's two dates for this, by the way. Saturday the 14th at 7:30, and then Monday the 16th of December, also at 7:30, at the new location, Prospero's Uptown Books. We don't want anything to happen to Prospero's either location. Well, there's three locations.
You know, you have one little fire, and you're just branded with that. You burn one church down, and suddenly you're branded with that for the rest of your life. I think it's highly unfair.
Well, this will be at the Prospero's Uptown Books at 3600 Broadway. Someone asked me recently, why the Prospero's? That was a character in Shakespeare.
Yes. Yes. That's not why we did it. It's because we knew where the bookstore was. And the reason for Prospero's, first of all, it's very accessible. There's easy parking. It's very, very accessible for people who don't want to go up or down stairs. We checked all of that out, and they are great hosts. And what a better way to spend an evening. They're going to have food ahead of time. You have to order it or buy it. But they're going to have food served ahead of time so you can come in, have some food, get your Christmas shopping done. You're getting awfully close to Christmas there. And you can go in and get any kind of book for any age group there in Prospero's.
I think we have a little Prospero love here.
Well, they've been very generous with us, and it's a great organization, and why not? I mean, it's a very comfortable place.
We've been there a couple of times. It's for performances, and it's really very comfortable, and they're very hospitable.
Well, and Will Leatham calls it a listening place, and it really is. It doesn't have the visual distractions or the sound distractions that a lot of other places have, and as a result, it is a good listening place.
They're very generous in doing that. Even their location in Blue Springs, I attended a play reading around the holiday season at Prospero's in Blue Springs.
Yeah.
And they also have that location near the KU Medical Center.
Yes, they do. It's a little tight, though, in the performance space. There is a performance space in that, but it's downstairs. And so we thought this was a nice...
So this is the one at 3600 Broadway. And so it's got to be very near the Uptown Theater.
Right
and
across
the Uptown,
street.
And the Uptown Arts Bar as well.
Right across the other
and
street.
And the new jazz club.
And the new jazz club.
Yeah.
In the old TGNY where I got my first job.
Well, you're just a wealth of information.
She
today,
is.
Useless information, but nonetheless.
So Robert Gibby Brand and Nancy Marcy will perform selections from the authors that you mentioned, Thurber, Capote, Nash, Hoare, with Kelly Wirtz and others, with Kelly Wirtz providing the musical accompaniment.
Yes. Yes, and a new carol.
A new Christmas carol.
Written specifically for this show.
Really? How does one go about writing a new Christmas carol?
You'll have to ask him.
Well, but he's not here, so we'll tell you. We have two selections that talk about fruitcake. And we didn't realize it until we had kind of looked over the script, and we go, well, there are no carols about fruitcake.
None.
And so now we have one.
There is now a carol about fruitcake.
A lonely fruitcake.
Well, there's only one fruitcake, right? It just keeps getting passed around.
Yeah, that's what Johnny Carson said.
Yes, well, I remember that.
Borrowed Calvin Trillin's idea on that one. I still think Calvin Trillin came up with that first in a New Yorker article. But what happens to it?
It just keeps going around the world.
Well, and that was one of the things that we considered for a while was how does, more than one person gets these? Is it procreating?
It's like Santa. There's only one Santa, but he manifests itself in so many ways.
Oh,
like
okay.
The fruitcake.
It's like a spiritual thing then. Spiritual fruitcake. It's manifesting itself.
Spiritual and bakery.
When I think of Christmas, I don't necessarily think of Truman Capote, but he has a piece that's going to be read in this show.
There's three pieces he wrote about the holidays, and this is one of them that's a holdover from last year because it's too wonderful. It's just too wonderful.
It's too wonderful not to have everybody hear it.
But it has the true spirit of the sadness of Christmas in it. Christmas is a time we really work hard to be happy at Christmas because when we look back on all the people that we've lost and all the people that we've loved, we really have to work at that. And accept that loss in order to go on. And that's really what the Capote piece is about. And it makes me a little, weepy just thinking about it. But the Capote piece is about acknowledging your innocence and then the turning from innocence just with the coming on of age. And it's a great piece. It really is a very, very, it's a very funny piece. But it's also a very moving piece, and When I picked it last year, I had Nancy Marcy's voice in mind for it. And Nancy and Bob had jobs somewhere else. So I got to do the piece last year, and this year I get to listen to Nancy do it, and I think I'm really looking forward to hearing Nancy.
Yeah, the Westport Center for the Arts does more than just a show at Christmas. You have offerings. In fact, on over the weekend, on my email, I had an announcement of a show you had scheduled that would be coming up a little later on.
Is this Butcher's Sewing?
Or 3M's?
Or the 3M's?
We have several shows, actually. We schedule about four a year. We just recently did, with Melting Pot KC at the Just Off Broadway Theater, we did a program written by one of our board members called JFK,
A Ghostly Evening.
Right.
And it was very well received. And now we're hoping that people will come and enjoy An American Christmas, too.
Yeah, the Westport Center for the Arts has been keeping a low profile here. We're going to try to raise that just a little bit.
Yeah, we'd love
we
that.
We would appreciate it.
We'd love that.
It needs more work for you, of course.
We work pretty hard. We'd like to have a lot of people see the work we do.
Well, you're involved. You do Reader's Theater.
Yes.
You do brown bag concerts. And I think that was the announcement I read.
Yes. There is a concert coming up, I think, this Friday.
Not this Friday.
Okay.
A week from Friday.
Week from Friday.
We have to get that mailed in. Kids Team Up for Arts is one of your activities and a foreign film series. Let's talk about the Reader's Theater first.
Okay. Yeah. It started really with doing the Christmas Carol. And every time we finished the Christmas Carol and said, that was fun, we should do this again soon. I said, well, it wouldn't make any sense to do the Christmas Carol at Easter. We should try something else. And we said that for 10 years, at least. And then one year we said, well, why don't we just do it?
Well, one year she got elected to the board. And then she got elected president.
Ah.
And so that's kind of how it evolved. You know, she just, once she was elected president, she just kind of like let her creative juices go.
Well, I had control of the money, and that was really, it wasn't a lot of money, but I had some say over it,
yeah.
And so that's just what we did. So we started doing pieces that were season specific. We did what I thought was one of our best pieces, which was a reading of an abridged version of Huckleberry Finn.
Oh.
And we also did a piece that was not a debate, but a discussion of emancipation with words from Lincoln and Frederick Douglass, not the other Douglass, the Frederick
not
Douglass,
Stephen.
Not Stephen Douglass.
Frederick
Douglass, the emancipator.
Yeah. The African American.
Yes.
Frederick
well,
Douglass.
And one thing that we do, one of the values that we hold is to have professionals do these readings, because they can bring a dimension to it that a casual reader cannot. And so when we did Huckleberry Finn, we had
Matt Weiss,
who's gone on to bigger and better things.
We had Robert Givey Brand.
Bob Brand and
Walter Coppedge.
Yeah.
Oh, Walter's always good.
Yeah, Walter is always good. Mm-hmm. The voice of God.
He's so tired of hearing me.
I bet he is, if I say it every time I see him.
Yeah. So that has kind of grown. Now, we've moved along a little bit. We found that some of the seasonal pieces, there's too much going on in those seasons. So now we're moving a little bit more towards doing, first of all, original works, like the piece that was done with Melting Pot. And we have two more original works that are scheduled for this year. But the main idea there is to do them in a cabaret style and with or as a Reader's Theater. Because the story is the thing. The words are the thing. And it's one of the things I like about Reader's Theater is there's nothing between the story and the listener. There's no sets. There's not that I don't like a good set, mind you, but there's no sets. You're there doing a story, and letting people experience with their imaginations what it is you're saying to them. And I've always loved that kind of performance, and it's been a real privilege to be able to kind of spearhead some of those projects with this organization.
It's a collaboration between the reader and the listener.
Yeah, it really is. Well, it has to be. Yeah. You also do brown bag concerts. We're running out of time. Let's talk about some of the brown bag concerts.
We
don't have that much time.
We don't have forever, so get to the brown bag concerts.
Brown bag concerts happen once a month between September and May, and we use professional musicians for that as well. And they provide a shortened concert during the lunch hour. That's why it's called a brown bag concert. And right now, since the church burned, we're hosting those at Emmanuel Lutheran most of the time, except in our January concert, which is always
Christian.
On MLK's...
Martin Luther King's.
Yeah, Martin Luther King Day. It's at Community Christian Church. And until the church is rebuilt, which they're working on it.
Oh, sure.
But they're not there yet. So anyway...
And Emmanuel Lutheran on Westport Road, because we are Westport Center for the Arts.
Yes, they are part of the Westport family of community anyway. And they're free at no charge. To anyone who wishes to come, they start at 12:10 and end at 1, and we do have a little socializing gathering afterward.
Cookies. They have cookies.
Yeah, there's cookies. Cookies and coffee. So our next one will be a week from Friday, and we would love to see everyone there. They touch your soul, because the people, the musicians that we have, are truly great musicians. We had a Lyric Arts Trio last month, and they're just fabulous. And the first one, we had a cellist named Matthew Heron, and he's fabulous. You know, they're just great musicians. So anyway, thank you for asking about brown bag concerts.
Well, I also want to ask about we're down to our last couple of minutes, but a foreign film series as well.
That's mostly foreign film.
Yeah, mostly foreign film. And that is, one of our board members is a particular lover of the filmic arts, and he hosts that. He has two sessions. The first one will be over, I think it ended yesterday. And the next session will be in January, and you can check on our website, www.westportcenterforthearts.org, to find out what's coming up on those.
Or put yourself on our mailing list, and you will get these email announcements, and check us out on Facebook as well.
Right.
Yeah, sounds great. But of the next event coming up, Friday, December 14th, this coming Friday.
Saturday,
December 14th. It's the Friday.
Friday is 13th.
I know. Did you skip the 13th?
No. We wanted to do Saturday. So.
Okay. Saturday and Monday. Saturday, December 14th, 7:30 p.m. Then Monday, the 16th, at 7:30 p.m. at Prospero's Uptown Books, 3600 Broadway. Where Robert Gibby Brand and Nancy Marcy, two professional equity actors, will perform selections from James Thurber, Truman Capote, Ogden Nash, Timothy Hoare, as well as a host of others.
Yes, and Kelly Wirtz.
All involved with the holiday season.
Yes.
Yes.
That's what's coming up. And their website, of course, westportcenterforthearts.org. You have to write all of that out.
Yes.
Because there are other sections of the country named Westport.
That's right.
But there's only one other Westport Center for the Arts, and it's in Connecticut.
Yeah,
Connecticut.
It is.
Don't want to go there. Don't click on them.
No, that's a little far.
It is far.
All right. Well, I want to thank my guests for enlightening us further on the Westport Center for the Arts. The radio station's been in Westport, two different locations, but been in Westport for a long time now, since 1990.
I say one thing, Michael? Uh-huh. I want to let your audience know that tickets are available at the door at Prospero's the evening of the performances.
Okay.
the evenings of the performances.
Okay, nice to have you back with us. Pam Gregory is the president of the Westport Center for the Arts, and Jean Murphy is one of the board members, a past president.
A past president.
Of the Westport Center for the Arts.
She is.
Does that mean you're glad to be finished with the presidency?
Everything has its season.
I see. Okay. Thank you so much for being
thank
with us.
You for inviting
oh,
us here,
you,
and we've
Michael.
Had a great time. Thank
Robert
you for
Gibby
being.
Brand is a wonderful reader, as well as a wealth of information.
And Nancy
oh,
Marcy
my goodness,
cannot
yes.
be beaten.
Okay.
It's going to be a great show.
Thanks so much for being with us. The
thank
Jazz
you.
Insider is next.
Thank you.
Great jazz. Jazz from 1 to 3, the blues from 3 to 6. Right here on your community radio station, 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. So until next we meet, ladies and gentlemen, at that cross in the road, I'm Michael Hogue. We'll see you next time.